Matthew chapter 6, we'll start at verse 25. We'll read through the chapter here. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. It says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the valleys of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things." He's talking about things we think about. You notice the key word there was the word, thought. And we think about the food we eat, how we're going to be clothed, the things of life that we feel we need, what we would call the necessities, and we think about all these things. And we need to think about them, I guess, a little bit. But he's telling us there's something much more important. He says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this evening. Thank you for these folks that are here, have taken time out of their busy schedule, Lord, maybe coming straight from work or busy day or so forth, and coming to church. And we appreciate them being here. I know you do. I pray you'd bless our few minutes we have together tonight, and I pray that you would just help us as we share a few thoughts about really, really, really honing in on what's important, making sure we have our priorities right. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, the verses that were before the verses we read, Jesus was talking about choices we had in several areas. The verses, you cannot serve God and mammon. He was talking about we have a choice of who we serve, who is our master. We have a choice of where we invest. Okay, lay not for yourself treasures upon the earth. And so now he gets into the nitty-gritty. He's getting real practical. We have a tendency sometimes to think and stress about the everyday things of life. Not that we don't need to take care of those things, but sometimes we give a little inordinate amount of time to those things. And he's trying to get us to snap back to what is really important, because if we don't have that in line, we're going to make a lot of mistakes. The key word he uses here when he's talking about all these things is the word thought. The word thought is used 6 times. These things are on our mind. Why is it important what is on our mind and what we think about? Because what is on our mind and what we are thinking about comes out in the way that we live. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 tells us, really, if we want to be transformed, we're transformed or changed by the renewing of our minds, the changing of our minds. So whatever gets in our minds and what we're dwelling on and what we're meditating on, what consumes what we think about, that comes out in the way that we live. Can't just help but do that. And so he's talking in that context of what are we thinking about? What are we dwelling on? What do we worry about? He talks about it really in 2 areas that were really occupying the thoughts here. First of all, area of importance. He was talking about the things that we're putting an importance on. We have to have food. We have to have raiment. He's saying these things can be taken care of. And then he was talking about thinking to a point where it's a concern. Concern would be a better way, I guess, to say worried or stressed about something. And sometimes we think of that. By the way, that's why he says, O ye of little faith. Because when we're worrying about things that God really doesn't want us to worry about, in that area, we really don't have faith. And we'll touch on that in a few minutes. But really, I think what's going on here is he's trying to show us what is really important to us, what we should really be concerned about, what we should really be thinking about. And we see that in verse number 33. He says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." What should be important to us is really the things that are important to God. That's how we have to be. And sometimes we struggle with that. And so here he's going to help us to be able to make that a part of our life. We need to have God's values. We need to put him and his kingdom first in our lives. That needs to be the important thing. And if we look at this verse, and we're going to look at it and kind of section it out a little bit, we'll see how we can make the right kind of things important to us. So with all that in mind, how are we going to do that? How are we going to make God's values, what's important to God, important to us? I would say, number one, first of all, if that ever happens in our life, we need to be proactive about it. Proactive. What does that mean? The first word he says, but seek. That's an action word. Seek is not something that is forced on somebody. Seek is something that has to come from our heart. It has to be a desire, and it has to be something that we want to happen. See, God doesn't force us to do anything. If we are going to have the values that God wants us to have, if we are going to be the Christians that God wants us to have, it has to be something we seek for individually in of ourselves. We have to be proactive about it. It's not something that happens on accident. Some verses, Psalms 27:4, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." But it had to be sought. Isaiah 55:6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." See, all of us face decisions in our life on a daily basis. We think that once we get saved, a person gets saved, or we get saved, that everything just falls into line. It doesn't happen that way. We start to grow, or at least we should. And as we grow, what happens is we come face to face with decisions in our life. We hear the word of God, or we start seeking God, and these decisions come. We have to make those decisions. We have to be proactive in making these decisions. Things don't happen on accident. Sometimes we kind of sit back and we're kind of like, "I'm just going to see how things pan out." By the way, if we don't make a decision to be what God wants us to be, by default, we've made the wrong decision. Not deciding is the same as saying no. We tell people sometimes, or, you know, we have a little thing we learned around here, that, you know, if you want something, ask for it. The worst that can happen if you ask for something is what? They'll say no. Can I just tell you something? If you don't ask them, the answer was already no. So what do you got to lose? But we need to be proactive. We may make decisions that are right. But it's not going to happen on accident. The Bible tells us we're supposed to seek. You look at a person and say, "How close are you to God? Where are you at in your Christian life?" Well, I'll tell you. You're as close to God and you're as far down the road in your Christian life as you want to be. So I just don't feel I'm that close to God. Can I tell you whose fault that is? It's yours. There is no need for us not to be close to God. Why? What does James 4:7 tell us? Draw nigh to God and he will what? Draw nigh to you. You know what the picture I always see there? I think I've mentioned it before here. You know, remember the old love scenes back in the day where two people are running towards a field and they're running towards each other? You know, I'm in love. I'm running this way. Nowadays, for most of you, they'd be running the opposite way faster than you're running. But God says when we take a step towards him, if we draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to us. God is a, I heard someone say this, I don't know if it's necessarily the right way to put it, but said God's a gentleman. He doesn't force himself upon you. You say, man, this whole Christianity thing, I just don't get it. It's not working out. Let me ask you, are you proactive? Are you seeking God? If you're not seeking him, he's not going to be found. Okay? It's like playing hide and seek. I've done this before, not often with the kids, you know, play hide and seek and they go hide and I just decide not to go find them. You know, and after a while, I'm sure they're, they get antsy. Well, you're not going to find God if you're not seeking after him. And by the way, he's easy to be found. He just wants you to take a step. But you got to be proactive about it. If the things of God aren't important to you, it's because you've decided you don't want them to be important. Got to seek after him. Got to seek after. We got to be proactive. Isaiah 44:3, he says, "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my thy blessing upon my offspring." Who gets that? Those that are thirsty. If you're not thirsty, you don't get it. God never denies a close relationship with him. Now, there are things that sometimes come into our life that seem to cloud that, and I understand that. We can get through that. God will help us get through that. But we have to be proactive about it. Do you really want to be close to God? So we got to be proactive about it. Secondly, we must accept it personally. He says, "Seek ye." It's an invitation we must all accept. And really, it's more of saying the same thing. I have to take personal responsibility for where I am at. See, we live in a blame society. We want to blame somebody for everything. Somebody does something wrong, it's like, well, you know, what are the circumstances? It could just be they chose to do wrong. It could just be they chose. Well, you know, you don't understand how they grew up as a child and this and that. And I understand sometimes you come from bad situations. But you know what? Ultimately, it's personal responsibility. And people don't take personal responsibility anymore. I mean, look, you know the most ridiculous thing is products you buy. All the warning labels. You know, seriously, do I really need on a coffee cup, warning, the beverage you're about to drink is hot? Now, I'm not a brain surgeon, but I kind of figured out that hot coffee is hot. Why do they put that nonsense on there? You know why? Because somebody drank it and said it was too hot, and they sued the company. Because some lawyer thought it was another lotto opportunity. It's like, come on, why don't we take personal responsibility for where we're at? See, you can either wallow in where you're at and make excuses for it, or you can do something about it. You know, God is not partial to anybody. Well, you know, you just don't understand that person. They just have this, this, and this. Stop. So we get so comfortable with living in mediocrity when God has something so much better for us. But we have to accept personal responsibility. If we understand who we are before the Lord, that's not real hard. I'm his child. I heard a story that when Queen Victoria was a child, she was growing up, she didn't quite understand that she was going to be the next queen. And she was kind of a troublemaker. And one day, one of the servants explained to her and said, "Listen, you are in line to be the queen." And she said, "I get that. I'm going to be better at it now." It changed her whole perspective. She knew who she was, and she took responsibility. You know, if we're saved, we're God's child. You say, well, that's a lot of responsibility. Okay, but there's also a lot of privilege with that. But we have to accept it personally. We always blame others. Someone has said, when you point the finger at someone else, you have three fingers pointing right back at you. 3-to-1 ratio. So quit making excuses. So if we're going to have the importance of that God has, we need to be proactive about it. We need to accept it personally. And then number three, we have to give it the priority. He says, "Seek ye what?" What's the next word? First. You know what first means? First means first. Top. Important. I know what first means. When I used to coach our sports teams here, that was our goal. First. Not second. Not third. Not, you know, good sportsman, although I wanted the good sportsman. I figured you can win both, right? It's like, first. There's only one first place trophy. That's what we want. That's the importance. So what is the importance to God? What is the first? That's priority. All of our life, if we want to get into the stewardship aspect here, all of our life is built around what is important to us. We call that priorities. What's really sad in our society, most people, when it comes to priorities, only pay lip service. They say something's important to them, but by the way they live, it is not important to them. You can say you love your spouse, but if you never spend time with them, you never work on the relationship, do you really love them? You may have an emotional attachment. You may love them, but in reality, the way you're living says no. Well, you know, I told you I loved you 5 years ago. Isn't that enough? No, it's not enough. Priority. Now, how do we primarily say priority? It comes in time. Time. I heard a story. I know this is true. Jimmy Johnson, I remember Jimmy Johnson used to coach the he used to coach the Dolphins. He used to coach the University of Miami. And in 89 or 90, he became he became the coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Right after he became coach of the Dallas Cowboys, within a few months, he divorced his wife. And he publicly made it clear the reason he divorced her is he didn't need her anymore. He said, when I coached college football, you had a lot of recruiting trips, you had a lot of dinners with these kids, and I needed a wife to be there to represent the family. He said, now that I'm coaching professional athletes, I have a whole new game plan, and she doesn't fit in. Now, you talk about somebody with screwed up priorities. I've never been a big fan of his. Okay? What is our priorities? God says he's supposed to be our priority, and he's supposed to be first. He doesn't want to be second. What we end up doing is we give God the leftovers of our life, don't we? We look at our life and say, okay, here's what I want to do, Lord. If I have any time left over, you get this. If I have, when it comes to giving or whatever, if I have any leftovers, you get this. But God says, no, I'm supposed to be the priority in your life. I'm supposed to be number one. That's why you have no other gods before me. I'm number one. God's jealous. He doesn't like to share. When you get married, or if you're already married, you didn't go down the aisle and say, I do most of the time. Or I do Saturday and Sunday. But Monday through Friday is mine. How many of you women would like, we'd like that? No, that's not what you're looking for. You're looking for someone that says, I do, I'm 100% committed to this relationship, you're number one. Does God deserve any less than that? But we do that in our lives, don't we? God wants us to give him our best from the beginning to the end. God wants everything. Reminds me, there was an old announcer for the St. Louis Cardinals. His name was Jack Buck, and he had announced for them for years and years and years. Towards the end of his life, you know how people get, when you're a little older, you kind of, you make mistakes, especially if you're using your voice. You make a lot of mistakes. You say things that are wrong, mispronounce. And so they were interviewing him. They said, now, you know, you're getting a little older and you're making mistakes. How's that all working out? He said, well, he goes, I gave the St. Louis Cardinals some of the best years of my life. Now they're getting some of the worst. Said, they got everything, good and bad. Okay? We got to give God everything we have. No, let's get rid of the bad, but let's give God everything we have. Let's put a priority. If something's important, it's in our schedule. If something's important, nothing interferes with it. I feel sorry for God, to be honest with you. And I've done it. We've all done it. There's just times in our life when it's like, he has to be first in that area. And we'll slip out of that. And we say we love him. And it's just, it's so easy. It's so easy to slip out of that. There's so many things competing for our hearts. So many things. We'll see that in a minute. But we need to make it a priority. You know why I come to church? Every service. Because it's a priority. When I was young, the first decision I made, when I said I'm going to serve God, I said I'm going to come to every church service. So what I did is I put it in my schedule. Someone called and said, hey, what are you doing? It's like, well, it's Wednesday. We had Wednesday night Bible study. I'm going to church on Wednesday. If it was, it was Sunday morning, what are you doing? I'm going to church on Sunday morning. I'm going to church on Sunday night. We had Thursday night. I think ours was Thursday night soul winning. We went Thursday night. That was in my schedule. Because if it's a priority, I put it there. And that's number one. What we do is we fill our lives with the things that are less important, and they squeeze out the things that are really important. And then we say, well, I don't have time, or I don't have this, or I don't have that. You know why? Because you place what you say important down here, and you let the other stuff push that out. Your schedule says this is what's important. Give God the priority in your life. Number four, we must understand really the place, but seek ye first what? The kingdom of God. Really, we have two areas we can put importance on. The kingdom of God or the things of this earth. If you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians. We know these verses, but they're good verses. We need to be reminded of them often. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. It gives us the little comparison. Colossians chapter 3. Verses 1 through 4 we're going to look at. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Colossians tells us where the competition is. It's the things above or the things of the earth. So many of us set out in our Christian life and we love God and I'm going to live for him and I'm going to live for his kingdom. And as we live on this earth, we face a struggle. Because most of the things of this earth fight against the things of God. And it's a struggle. They tell us how we seek the kingdom of God in these verses. We seek the things above. What is seeking the things above? That's our time. That's our energy. We're seeking. And we're supposed to set our affections above, our emotions and our resources. We're not careful. This all gets squeezed out by the things of this earth. Because we live and occupy this earth, it's so easy to get overly caught up in it. It's amazing what people live for. When someone does not know Christ or someone gets their priorities out of kilter, they'll live for things that don't have an ounce of meaning. Dumb things. My whole life is wrapped up in this. And God never designed life to be wrapped up in the things of this earth. And sometimes we think, I got that squared away. But we start living our life and that starts to creep back in. Creep back in. Why? It's a fight. It's constant. It's a struggle. We need to make sure that we fight the good fight. If we don't do this, what happens? It starts to adversely affect our spiritual life. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him that hath chosen him to be a soldier. He's giving the analogy there as Christians, we're soldiers. And as soldiers, if we're getting ready for battle, we're not going to get entangled or caught up or tripped up in something that would affect our ability to be the soldier that God would want us to be. And too often in our life, we get so caught up in what's going on down here and all the things in this world, it just starts to crowd God out. Say, man, why don't I love God anymore? You got all this other stuff competing. Competing. You have to purposely fight it. And so we start just seeking the things that are below. You know, I remember one time years ago, I took a group to youth conference in North Valley. And We were driving back and forth from the hotel, and some of the guys, Chantha was one of them. They were in the back of the car, and they were talking about a video game. Now, this is back in the 90s. The video game was, it was a kung fu fighting game. I knew the name of it. It was like early 90s. And this just this dumb kung fu fighting game. And, you know, you chose who you wanted to fight or whatever. And these guys are in the back, and they were talking about the characters that would fight on this dumb video game. And then they're talking about their lives. These were just characters, and they had lives. Like, well, this one was trained here, there. I guess they had some book that came with the game, and it told you their whole life story. And Street Fighter. And I'm thinking, in the car, I was fascinated. I'm like, I didn't know a stupid video character had a backstory. And so I just listened for about 15 minutes, and they knew everything. And after a few minutes, I said, man, if you guys knew that much about the Bible, you'd be Jesus. I think Chantha said, ouch. But it's like, man, was it wrong to play Street Fighter? I mean, maybe the way I would have played it, maybe it would have been. But, man, they do everything. But we get so caught up in everything down here sometimes that we know everything about everything, and we don't know anything about God. You know, we don't know anything about our Bibles. We don't know anything about the stories of the Bible. Nothing. What does that say? It says that maybe when it comes to the things of this earth and the kingdom of God, our priorities might be just a little bit out of kilter there. And we need to work on that. And it's a constant fight and a constant struggle. So we must understand the place that God wants us to place the priority. And then really, number five, we need to know the person. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, God didn't just say, I want you to know a righteousness. Okay? Do you know everybody has a standard of righteousness? Do you know that? Sometimes we talk about, you know, in a church, pay attention back there, boys. And we talk about, okay, everybody has a set of beliefs, a set of standards. You know, everybody has that. Now, some of them are low. So what is the standard of righteousness we're supposed to have? It's his righteousness. That comes from him. And the more we know him, the better off we're going to be. Sometimes we get so caught up in what's going on around us. And I'm not bringing up, but, you know, things happen sometimes and people that claim to be Christians do things and everybody's faith gets shaken. Well, this person was blah, blah, blah. And this, listen, can I tell you something? Nothing shakes me. Now, there are things that make me shake my head. There are things that make me think, we got to be careful here. But you know what? I didn't get saved by trusting in any man. I trusted Jesus Christ. And you know, he's never let me down. And just because I know people in the years I've been a Christian that have let me down, that's between them and God. But I know Jesus has never let me down. Now, I know too often I've let him down. Man, if he would have bailed out on me because I let him down, we would have been bailed out on a long time ago. But it's about him. And we need to have our priorities straight sometimes. You know, we need to make sure that what we're doing is we're doing it for the right reason. We're not just seeking this or that. We're seeking his righteousness. We're seeking who he is. We can't know his righteousness if we don't know who he is. We find him primarily through his word. When I look at things, if I have problems in my life and I've had problems, I can't look and say, what's the issue? You know what my issue is? I'm not as close to God as I probably should be. There's an area in my life where I've disconnected. It goes back to the whole blame thing. You know, now, unfortunately, let me say this. When Christians do things, the world uses that as an excuse to disrespect or marginalize Jesus Christ. That's a sad fact of life. But why don't we be one of the ones that doesn't do that? Why don't we be one of the ones that brings honor and glory to him? You don't have to be perfect. People don't expect you to be perfect. But why don't you be genuine? and just really love God. People ought to be able to look at you and say, you know, that guy's not perfect. They're not this, they're not that. But I think that one does love Jesus. I think that one does love Jesus. It's a person. We must know the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the last thing is this. This is a good thing. If we do all these things and we have the right mentality, we have the right mindset, the things that are important to us are the things that God wants us to be important to us, we receive the provision. And he says, all these things shall be added unto you. What is it? The necessities that you're worrying about. The necessities you're spending your time spinning your wheels about. We spend all this time, sometimes God, I got to take care of all this stuff over here. And God says, the best way for you to take care of the things over here is to put the priority on me. Right? But no, Lord, you don't understand. I've got to take care of that. No. Those are the things I've said I'll take care of if you just put me first. Now, let's take a look at the area. We won't spend a lot of time there, but the area of finances. You know, God asked us to give the tithe. Do you know it takes faith to do that? You don't have to be a financial genius to think that, to know that, you know, what makes sense rationally is the more money you have, the better things go. So it doesn't take sense to take some of that money and tithe and give it to the church. That all makes sense if you take out the whole equation of faith. But when you throw in the equation of faith, it works. When you look, and we'll look at it when we talk about tithing, our once a year thing we do, what do we say? It's one verse where God very specifically says, prove me in this area. Put me to the test. Because if you put me to the test, I'll pass. Why? It's a hard area for us. But God says, I will take care of these things. If God promises to take care of us in those areas, then why don't we do what we're supposed to do? You know why? Because it's a lack of faith. We think faith is some mystical feeling. You know, well, I just have faith. Well, what do you mean you have faith? I heard a story of a lady one time. She was low on gas for her car. She wasn't in her car. She wasn't having enough gas for church, and she was a little more charismatic in her belief, so she got a thought. I'm going to put water in the gas tank and just ask the Lord to turn it into gas. You know what? God didn't answer. She had some serious engine problems. That wasn't faith. That was foolishness. Okay? We think faith is this feeling of, I just feel like something's going to happen. You can get a good feeling. Stick your finger in a light socket. It's not faith. You know what faith is? Faith is, you know what? This does not make sense to me, but God says to do it, and God says if I do it, this will work out, so what I'm going to do is what God says to do, and I'm going to trust him. That makes sense. Now, I'm not trying to pull out an old story, but we've talked before in here when we were down in Florida, and that was the one time in our life. We've had financial struggles before where basically we had to decide, were we going to give money and tithe to our church like we're supposed to, or we were not going to pay bills, including groceries. We went through a very hard time when we first got down there. And I never had a problem tithing. Because whenever I would give, I would just always remind God. Now, he didn't need reminding, but it made me feel better, okay? It's like, Lord, you said you would provide for your own if we do what you say. And that I've never seen the righteous begging bread. So I'm going to give this money, which I'm going to give it anyhow. And we don't have grocery money, but I know you're going to provide. Now, you know what? God did provide. Government cheese. Amen? That stuff that, now some people like that junk. I would have preferred to eat the box it came in. Okay? And but you know what? God took care of us. I told a story one time. You know, we went through there for a few days. We were eating rice and cheese and bread. Then we ran out of bread. And then we were getting a little bit low on rice there. And, my wife was trying to make something out of that in the oven. I'm like, God bless you. I know what's in it. I know it's going to be rice and cheese. I don't know how you're going to cook it, but go to town, sister. Have a good time. And I was sitting there, and I was just thinking, man, it would be really nice, Lord, to have some meat. We hadn't had meat in a few days. And the neighbor next door, his dad was a butcher, and about 10 minutes later, he knocked on the door and said, hey, dad just butchered. I had some extra meat. You want it? It's like, bro, that didn't even hit the refrigerator. OK? Okay? That went straight to the frying pan. I'm telling you. That was good stuff. But you know what? God always provided for us. Now, I'm thankful that we're not doing that today, all right? But I'm just saying there may be areas in your life like that where you're going to be tested. And it's like, do you have the faith? See, it's easy to say I believe the Bible. Look, every kid in our church is a tither until they get a job. Once you get a job and the paycheck isn't the $5 your mom gave you for allowance, you actually made some money, now the shoe leather's going to hit the road. Are you really going to give now? Faith says, I'm going to give. And what does God say? God says, He'll provide for us. God doesn't cheat His people. Okay? The just shall live by faith. That verse is in the Bible 3 times. Did God get a hiccup? No, He's just trying to make sure that that we know that's important to Him. So what is important to you tonight? God wants us to make Him the priority in everything we do. God wants us to have that relationship with Him. And in everything we do, we ought to be able to show that God is a real priority in my life. He's important to me. It's not just lip service. By the way, the Christians take a hammering in our country because most of the Christians in this country, it's just this. It's lip service. I go to church on Sunday. We sing some songs I like, and we do this and that. We hear a little ditty. I go home. It's all good. I gave God what's His. No, you put your time in. God wants Christians who have a real relationship with Him, who really love Him, who someone can look at and say, you know what? That God's important in that man's life. Let's pray this evening.